Well, what our plan is for the rest of the night is we want to spend this time and do what I like to call debrief. We don't all have to take off our clothes. We are going to talk about our experience in what we just did. Those of us who got a chance to speak to somebody to talk about it and share how things went. Was it scary? What happened? How did it go? Things like that. And then after that, we'll take a little bit of time and talk about things that might have come up, questions. We got stuck with something. Talk about, you know, common things that will come up when you're witnessing to somebody if you have a question about, or just a question in general about what we've talked about thus far. And then we'll close our night with some praise, praise and worship. And we'll meet everybody tomorrow. So does anybody want to talk about how their experience was at the park, if they got to speak to anybody? Successes, you know, defeats? Just make sure you speak up so everybody can hear.
Jen and I talked to two women, older than me, even. And
what's the
age? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Older than me. And we kind of, I think our failure, or my failure was, I didn't say, can I practice this on you? I don't know. For some reason, I couldn't go there. So we did talk to them about being in an evangelism class today, and then we jumped into asking about some of the different questions. But I found I kept in my mind, I think you really just need to focus on the whole concept and go through it a few times in your mind. I think that will help me. I kept reverting back to the WCJD thing to help me out. And so it was really great because Jen and I, when I would get, you know, like quiet, she'd jump in because she knew that I had already hit a wall and I didn't know what to say next.
Right.
So it was really kind of neat the way that we were able to work together.
That's the advantage of two people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because while I'm talking, she's thinking, you know, and praying. But we ran into a big wall because
they just weren't, they didn't care. They didn't want to hear what we had to say. I mean, they were very nice and very, like, they weren't rude or anything. They were nice and they did talk with us. But, like, they kept trying to pay attention to other things to, like, give us clues, and they just wanted us to leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
So finally that's what we just did. We were just like, okay.
Right.
There's no reason to keep
off. Right. It's probably the best thing to do in that case, because they'll just wear you out otherwise. If they really don't care.
I think that also was the struggle of trying to find something to say, because if they don't really want to hear it, there's really nothing to say.
Right.
You know, I mean, but it was good, because we really did go back and forth, and, you know, when one person would just be like, and you could tell, like, you just didn't know what to say next, but it was good because the next person was just right there with it, you know, saying so much. So it is really great having that other person there to, you know, back you up, trying to talk. You run out, you know. They do, like, just, they do bring you down, especially if they don't really want to do it, these people. But it was cool because they, the one lady that actually goes to church and stuff, and, but yet they had no answers. Like, we asked them.
Hmm. Going to church does not make one a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car.
Yeah.
Or a mechanic.
Mechanic. I'm sorry, I always screw that up.
It's okay. Yeah, the Paris thing just comes to mind, how critical that is. So you can see why in the Bible, you know, in the Bible they were sent out with more than one person. If you guys, when we did the videos and discussion, if you saw the one with Sam and I, John Oblinus was with me, but as soon as we started witnessing to Sam, this other guy comes out of nowhere and is like, oh, hey, what are you guys doing? And John, it was so awesome. He just walked with the guy and talked to him because he was going to distract from what Sam and I were talking about. So even if the other person is just there to
deflect
it or to pray, you know what I mean? You work in a partnership. It's really cool to see how that happened.
I think we did plant a few seeds as far as reading the Bible to see what the Bible actually says.
Okay. Sometimes that's the farthest that you can bring somebody in one encounter. You know, God is bigger than just us, and there's other people that God has, right? So.
I was also saying, I think another really big part of it was that we stood away and we prayed before like we ever started. You know, for that wisdom for God to give us what to say, to know when to stop. I mean, because we both clearly knew it was time to stop,
yeah.
And like we just stopped. Like, you know, we could have kept going, but like, we knew it was time to stop.
Okay.
And that's definitely, I think, God's wisdom.
That's cool. Great.
Anybody else?
Jessica and I talked to a Muslim man. And he probably was like, doesn't take a little bit older. He started off saying he was ready to the class. And Jessica told me after that, whenever it's Muslims who want to talk about God, that they have to.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So,
Delaware
Seven.
Delaware
Seven. Before we said what we were doing, we definitely wanted to know what you want. You know, like, hi, we're Muslim, we want to know you with them, we're over there, you know. You can see by his face, like, tell me what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
So he put his phone down and, what'd you start off? What do you believe in? What happened after the afterlife? It was just kind of like, that's a big answer. We started going into what we believe, and very similar. Heaven, hell, judgment day, mm-hmm. You know, knew all about the Bible,
wow.
The prophets, which was actually kind of difficult. and the one thing he didn't believe in was that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he had more power than the other prophets.
Jess was pretending to be a Muslim earlier in the day, so this must have been great,
yeah.
And a great opportunity to,
it was. It was really funny
to learn more.
Yeah. And he was like, right, if you do a bad thing, you have to immediately go do a good thing.
Right. Even and out, right?
One good thing was 10 more than a bad thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, it says that? He says, yeah. It says that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Says that? One good thing's 10 times better than a bad thing.
Doesn't
experience teach you the opposite? Like, it's so easy to destroy something, it's so hard to like build it back up. You know? One good thing makes 10 bad things go away.
Well, I asked him, I said, if you murdered somebody with one bad thing,
wow.
And you help an old woman walk across the street, does that make you murder that person? And he said, oh no, no, no.
Ah.
And I said, why not?
Why not?
You just told me that was your rule. And he said, well, murder is different.
Yeah.
It was challenging for me. I thought it was good because I was telling Nathan that I felt as if in order to get him to understand that Jesus was the way for him to not die, not pay the penalty of death, I had to prove to him that Jesus was his highest prophet. And because he kept saying to us, yes, Jesus is a prophet, high prophet, high prophet, but Muhammad. And so, you know, it's the highest. And I'm thinking in my head, well, how do I tell you that if you do all these bad things, Jesus can save you? And so, and for me, it was difficult in my mind because I just didn't feel like I knew enough to teach this man that Jesus was the one and not Muhammad. I mean, and that was my struggle.
How'd you do? I mean, as you kept going talking.
It was, I had, the victor I said at the very end, if you feel like you have somebody who knows all of these things and you can talk to them about doctrine, and it wasn't that I knew that he was a great Christian and all these things, obviously, but he had said so many things to us and he was trying to live this life that was not full of sin and did not live, that we said, all right, let's talk to him about it. Let's get this guy to see, if you really believe in all of Jesus' words, he must have said that to us 100 times, then these words of the meek shall inherit the earth and all of these other things that we said, do you believe that? And we tried to reason with him the kingdom, and it was okay, but he kept trying. trying to talk about something about the grades. I mean, overall, it was a great experience.
You learned some things, right?
I learned many things.
Right, excellent.
One thing he said was, you know, all men think wrong. And I was like, well, since you knew all the prophets, was there any man who did anything perfectly? Those were like Moses, what he did, all these things.
Things wrong.
Things wrong. And I was like, well, what did Jesus do?
And he could not.
He
was
like, I don't know.
Wow.
Like, if
that is incredible. Wow.
What does that mean to him? He goes, it means that's he's cool. Just a prophet. I'm like, but doesn't it make him a higher prophet if he's done nothing wrong?
Right.
And he was like,
didn't he believe he was resurrected?
No. 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 He doesn't believe in the resurrection. Muslims don't believe Jesus ever died.
You know what? He said he was in flesh. Yeah.
He said his spirit was already gone, but his flesh was with him.
Yeah.
What they believe is, because obviously... what's interesting about Muslims is they believe, obviously, what's the name of their holy book? The Quran, right? And they have in the Quran parts of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's very selective. And they highly regard certain prophets,
Moses,
David, Jonah, Abraham, Jesus, and...
You don't like Paul.
And others, right? So you can use... the scriptures with those specific prophets to talk to them. But they believe that what happened was they went out to get Jesus. And by accident, they got his neighbor and crucified him. And it wasn't like it looked like it was Jesus.
God put the face of Jesus on this other person so that everyone thought it was Jesus dying.
But because the problem is a prophet of God cannot die. So you have a problem when it comes to Jesus. But the biggest issue with the Muslim is... they have no way to atone for their sins. The two people I got to speak to are both Muslim. And their issue with Judgment Day is, well, we'll just see how it goes.
That's what he kept saying to us.
Yeah. I was like,
he didn't know where he was going to be. Right. He's like, I don't know. We'll have to wait for Judgment Day.
Yeah, the time I talked to, there's this one time I really had a great conversation. There's been a couple really good Muslim conversations, but, the cab drivers and, Albany bus station, they hang out on the bench waiting for people, and I think they were from Africa, but they were Muslim, and I just went through it just like if I was talking to a Christian. You know, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? You know, and just went right through it, just normal. Even though they told me they were pious Muslims, you know, I said, well, you know, have you ever lied? You know, I just went right through it, and I said, well, when you face God on Judgment Day. I said, well, do you think God is just? They said, yes, Allah is very just. Okay. So justice means that people don't get off for doing wrong things. You know, that he punishes them equally and he rewards people equally and so on. And he's just and he's fair. And I'm like, well, if you've done all these things wrong and God's just, he cannot let you off. He cannot just forgive you. Because if he does, then there's an injustice. He's breaking his own holiness to do that. And do you think that God is unjust? And he said, no, Allah is very just. You know, he'd like to say that. And so we just found like the kink in Islam where on the one hand, he wants his God to be perfectly just. And at the same time, he wants to have all his sins forgiven. And that doesn't work. You can't have both. And that's the genius of Christianity, where somebody can volunteer to take the penalty, somebody who's never offended God, so he's not under the punishment of God in any way, and the punishment, he can volunteer to take the punishment for others, and then that can start to make sense to them. Christianity can start to make a little sense to them. Just a caveat about the Son of God thing, do not say to a Muslim, Jesus is the Son of God, because what they hear, this is according to the Quran, is that Father God had sexual relations with Mary and produced the Son of God. That's what the Quran says Christians believe. No Christians believe that. I don't even think in 600 AD when Islam got started with Muhammad, I don't even think Christians believe that then. I mean, it's a totally bizarre thing.
Yeah.
It's a misrepresentation of the Christianity and the belief system. But if you say Jesus is the Son of God, what they hear you saying is, God had sex.
And that there's more than one God. Because the biggest deal for them is there's only one God. It's Allah, Allah. So they hear, Father God got together with Mother God and made a baby God, right. A son of God. So right. It's all God, and that doesn't work because there's only one God.
I mean, I'm not saying don't get to the point eventually where you talk about Jesus being the son of God, but when you bring it up, explain what that means. It means that God created Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, not that there was any sexual relations at all that happened. Because that, if you say Jesus is the son of God, that'll trigger them hardcore. It's like them saying to you something offensive. I can't think of anything.
It was the first thing that we talked about was that he said, are you a Christian? And we're like, yeah. He's like, well, no. He said somehow he got on that he only believed in one God. And we're like, well, actually, we do too. And he's like, no. Jesus, not God. You know, he's not God. We're like, right, we get that. He's not God. He's like, and he was like dumbfounded.
Right. That's our ace in the hole.
All the Christians I thought believed in more than one God. I'm like, they do, but we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you talk to a Muslim, that's the first card you pull out. That's the first thing that you want to get going with.
Right.
Say, look, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe Jesus is God. I am a believer in the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus, and I believe that is absolutely the case. And they're just like, whoa. And then you can even throw this in. You can say, well, I'm one of the people of the book. You know, throw that little term in there, it kind of helps. But in the Quran, it says there's the people of the book, and you should listen to them, and so on. And we're not, well, they're like the true, they recognize there are true Christians.
And true
and
Jews.
And yeah. There are false Christians. False Christians believe in the Trinity. This is according to the Muslim belief system, okay? So when I talk to these taxi cabs drivers, I said to them, you know, I don't believe Jesus is God. I believe only the Father is God. And Jesus said only the Father is God, John 17:3, great verse. And they're just like, You're the Unitarians. You are. We heard about you. We had a caliph in or a imam or whatever their religious guy. Caliph is like Middle Ages or something. Imam in Kuwait that talked about the Christians that believe in only one God. And I'm like a little pensive. I'm like, do I want to associate myself with these people? I don't really know who they are. And the shoe is really fitting. So. Kind of wore it a little bit, but I didn't, you know, it's something it works really well in our favor.
Yeah, so. It's something that keeps the conversation going.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I have a question specifically about this.
About Islam and Muslim?
Well, I don't know how my difficulty in bringing Jesus in, I don't know if you guys can help me to understand. Like you said, you still did the good person test on them, which I find fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I felt that it was so difficult for me to do that.
Right.
And I didn't know at the end how to be like, and Jesus is the one that's going to do that for me. I think
you had already kind of pulled that out in your discussion because you had mentioned that Jesus had, what did Jesus do wrong, right? And he said, well, I don't know. And it's like, well, it seems like nobody knows because nobody's ever successfully accused him of doing something wrong. So there must be something special with him in the sense that he hasn't offended God in any way. But again, textbook, go through the WDJ part, and you'll just go around a little bit there on the J part where you're talking about, well, if God's going to judge you, are you going to be innocent or guilty? And they have to say guilty, but then they have to say God's going to let me off anyhow. And you have to just really make that case that God cannot both be just and let you off the hook without punishing you. You cannot do both at the same time. And once they are sufficiently grounded in that concept, say, and that's why we believe Jesus died for us, because he never sinned, and therefore he didn't need to pay for his own sins. And he volunteered for, that's very important for Muslims, because they think the whole thing's a big injustice that God would punish somebody that didn't deserve it. Jesus volunteered to take the penalty. So I would just do the thing, get into the judgment, and then bring Jesus in. When there's no Islamic savior on the table, and there's a problem that they can't resolve, then we bring in Jesus. See, look, Jesus makes sense. Otherwise, you're in a conundrum. Either your God's not just, or you're not going to paradise or heaven or whatever.
We have a
conundrum is just, you know, you're confused, you're stuck.
We have a dear brother in London named Delroy Gale, who in Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, and in London there's whole sections of the city that are only Muslim, and that's where he lives. So he's had to really do the research and study and figure this out. And he presented a paper at the theological conference maybe 5 years ago that I heard it once and learned enough about it that I could talk to a Muslim with ease. And I have his paper, so if anybody wants it, jot down a reminder after this. I'll email it to you. It's on my computer here for you to look over. Something that when you go out witnessing, it keeps you on your toes. You know, you go home and you're like, oh my gosh, honey, I don't know anything about this. Yeah. Let's look it up. Let's look up on Wikipedia what conundrum means, you know, or dictionary.com.
Yeah, and the thing is, none of us start out as experts in evangelism, you know, and we're all in the process of learning. And the best teacher is the person you're talking to. Ask a million questions. And especially bring up things that you've heard and say, well, I heard this about Muslims. Is that really true? And then, you know, and just pump them for information. Let them educate you. It's free. You don't have to pay for it, you know?
Yeah, so I'll send you that paper if you want. And, I mean, we don't need to know everything about everything. I mean, you're gonna go back and, like, learn a little bit about Islam. Just enough to talk to somebody, you know what I mean? And you're not going to do that about Hinduism yet because you haven't talked to one. And when you know what I mean? It's like, let's get a couple facts about the stuff, and that's it.
Anybody else? Oh, it looked like there were some Hindus. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't.
That big group of Indians at the they were Muslim. Yeah. They were all Muslim, which is kind of rare. But.
Yeah, fairly rare. Yes, Jason.
I left here, broke. My battery's kind of low. I need to recharge. I prayed. I want to get a haircut before I flew out Tuesday. I've been getting my haircut at Crossgates Mall by a Vietnam gentleman. He was born in Vietnam and came to California when he was 11. And he had cut my hair about three other times. He claimed that he's Buddhist. And so, I got to the mall, I prayed for guys who got to have a joyful heart and be able to share. And any kind of smile that comes before me, it'd be a direct compliment to you, Father. I prayed this, and I didn't really think too much about what I was going to say or what I was going to do. But the small talk or the conversation, how are you? To Peter, as he's cut my hair, and he reminded that he celebrated his son's birthday the last time I talked to him on Labor Day weekend. So I asked him how that was. Just kind of stirred up a conversation. I was like, so I came from evangelism class.
Right. A good opening line, right?
Read to him or something. He didn't know evangelism. Evangelism class is for my church. I appreciate it. Sharing the good news of the gospel that we don't have to be damned and burn in hell. That Jesus Christ died for my sin, for everybody's sin. Just flow really nicely and smoothly. He points that courage was as I asked him what happens when you die, or when you believe here what happens when you die. He kind of shrugged his shoulders. I saw him in the mirror. He kind of broke away from the haircut. Explained to me a little bit. Just that we really don't know. He's a good person. Good things will happen. And I asked him to explain a little more. through this, I'm just kind of feeling so confident and trusting that God's going to get my words. I asked him if he ever lied. He told me that. Yeah, he lied a little bit. He was a kid. He was smarter, white lies. Kind of showed him off, but really, it's okay. He's a lie. And I asked him if he ever stole one thing. myself, I shared with him. Still trying to think about the format of what we're talking about here.
Okay.
I asked him, something's going to happen. Standing with God's judgment. At that point, he says something changed his tone. I sense the conviction in his heart.
Okay.
That's what that do.
Or taking God's name in vain, right? Right. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Cool. All
right. Something that's nice about that is you'll see him again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know where he is, which is kind of cool, you know? It's risky just talking to your barber, man. I've gotten so many bad haircuts from, you know, probably all of you know, because my haircut at my wedding was really bad. My wife remembers it. And reminds me on our anniversary when we look at pictures. And I'm trying to tell her, I was trying to witness to the barber, but they were all distracted. It's risky, man. That's great.
Small price to pay, though.
Yeah. That's the only persecution we get in America, so it's not bad.
To go to law school.
So what would you say
that?
In the courtroom, she agreed with us every single time. But then as soon as we bring it back to her, she comes right back to us. And I kept asking her why it was different.
Right.
She's just like, you know, it's just different. I mean, she just...
What do you think?
Well, would you say God is a just God? You know, if he just forgives everybody, I mean, at what point what sin would they still be forgiven of? Will he forgive them for murder? Will he just forgive a murderer? Well, no. They probably would agree.
She thought so. Yeah.
We went through all.
Really? He would just forgive. So Adolf Hitler is gonna be in heaven. Okay, then he's definitely not a just God. You know, somebody who murders 6 million Jewish people, and still goes to heaven and has no recompense. There's no justice, and that's not a just God, and it's not a God worth worshiping. So I'd say yes. I would go then to the point where, at that point, and this is a very comfortism, you're right. Your God would not put anybody in a place of punishment, because your God doesn't exist. Your God is a figment of your imagination. You've created an idol in your own mind to suit your sin, and your God won't. And your God can't do that, but the true God has all power, and He can and will be just on the day of.
That might ruffle justice. Their feathers a little bit.
We kept bringing back to, do you think God is a just God? And they kept saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then when we get back to the other thing, it's still.
So I would say then, you know, bring it to their family. I think somebody we were talking to said that, you know. What if somebody did something to your family member? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a son? Do you have a child? If somebody, you know, if they were shot and they were an innocent bystander and, you know, there was no fault in them and they knew who the person did it, they had him on video or they, you know, they had him dead to rights and everyone knew he was guilty. And this judge, a human judge, said to the perpetrator, you know, I'm a forgiving God. I'm gonna let you go. I mean, you would be beside yourself. You would be calling for that judge's seat. You know, probably more than that. You would want that person.
Call the newspapers, right? right away. Be like, we have a crooked judge here. They're letting somebody off the hook that we know is guilty. It would be an outrage.
They believe that the people should be punished. That wasn't the issue, but for some, like, they believe that, like, if somebody was in the court, they should be punished, that they were guilty.
But you just said that, but God is going to let everyone go to heaven at the end. But what we're saying is, in the courtroom, you have to show that God doesn't exist. That you expect a human judge to uphold justice, right? You get them to agree with that. If a human judge is going to, you know, be just, how much more so the judge of the whole earth, who created everything and who knows the hearts of everyone, knows the most intimate detail of everyone's heart, and knows, you know, exactly what is right and wrong, and will not err on either side in his judgment. You know, that's if a human judge is expected to carry out justice, then that God, then the God of heaven and earth, certainly can be expected to not acquit the. It says in the Bible, he will not acquit the guilty.
Does not leave the guilty unpunished, right? God is at least as just.
Right. Yep, that's good.
Yeah, Exodus 34:7. God is at least as just as a human judge. You know what I mean? Because people always try to turn around. Oh, that's God. God's not the same as a human. But he's at least as just as a human judge. You know what I mean? I would flip it the other way. But, you know, if they don't care, you know, you move on and you talk to somebody else. You know, at the end of the day, I definitely think what he said about the thing about, you know, would God be just and punish the people and so on? And they say no. And be like, look, the God you worship doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. It's not in the Bible, you know. And you know, I wouldn't start there. But it sounds like you two are at a point where that needed to be said.
Do you know if you had $2 exacto on tomorrow,
and this is what God said, if he's saying this, and he's a just God, then, you know, they're going to be held accountable. They did bring it back, but they still.
How many people actually?
I mean, just no matter where we went with it. Back,
that's the joy of people. They don't always make sense, do we?
Erica, you want to say something?
Right. You die for nothing, right?
Yes, that's good. Yeah. Where do you get that information? All that, yeah. I think the thing I was thinking of was, I would say, because what I thought of when you're describing what this woman believes, that it doesn't matter what you do now in this life. You can be Hitler or Mother Teresa, and you both are okay in the end. I would say, okay,
I want all your money.
Give me all your money.
Right. And it's not, God's going to forgive me. So,
you know what I mean? I, you know, where are your kids? You know what I mean? Like, hypothetically, say that to them, because it will bother them then.
They won't give you their money.
They will think about it. They won't give me the money. And, you know, I mean, if you give me the money and are robbed, you're going to go to the good place too. So why does it matter if you're poor? Whatever. You know what I mean? Making it personal is good, because the rule is, they will keep that rule until it's, you know,
until it's so hot that they have to. Okay, all right, we'll change it. But if you say, oftentimes people say, well, there's no such thing as right or wrong. It's just different cultures define it differently, and so on. First of all, that's an anthropologically ignorant statement. All cultures around all time have certain things that they believe are right and wrong. Like, no culture, like, venerates cowardice, you know, and no culture thinks that courage is a bad thing. You know what I mean? That's just, it's an ignorant statement to say all cultures just have a different sense of right and wrong. But oftentimes the way to demonstrate that there is a right and wrong, and this person who's saying there isn't does believe it, is you say to them, look, give me your wallet. I want your money. And according to my belief system, you should give me your money. And you should not be judgmental to say that your belief system is better than my belief system. And if they won't give you the money, then they have to admit that there is an absolute, and that absolute is, you're not allowed to take their money. Otherwise, you get $20 or whatever out of it.
They're going to stick to their guns.
Right, if they want to stick to their guns, you get some money, you can go to the coffee shop or whatever. But there's a wrong way to do that, too.
See if the judge will let you off.
There's a wrong way to do that, too. I was there in Albany one time with, I was with Josh again, Josh Gabriel. And there was the guy, and he was going on about there's no right and wrong, and it's just whatever each person says. And I said, do you think it would be wrong if I came up the stairs and slapped you right now? And he was just like, he's bigger than me too, okay? And he was just like, no, I don't think it. I don't. You know, I don't know if it would be wrong for you. And then I'm like, look, unless you tell me it's wrong, I'm going to walk up these stairs and I'm going to slap you in the face. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's just stupid. I shouldn't have done it. I boxed myself in, and thank God he said it was wrong. Because I don't know what I would have done if he said, do it, you know?
What if it had been Russell?
So I think if you want to deal with somebody who's got a very, like, you know, relativistic morality, do it with, like, the money. You know, give me your money. Don't say something about, like, slapping them in the face. You know, don't say something silly like that. I don't know if that's you. You probably would not have done that anyhow. So never mind. Rewind the tape.
That's funny.
Anyone else who had an evangelism experience that they'd like to share with the group? Debrief a little bit.
Yeah.
Jim and I. She had a struggle because it was hard to tell where she was at. I mean, the first thing she said to us was, I said, why do you, I asked somebody, she said, well, Jesus died for my sins. She, like, brought up all the answers we were looking for.
Okay.
And it was like, I had a hard time figuring out where I should take it. You know, should I start talking about things further into what she believed, or
was her life drastically affected by the fact that Jesus died for her sins, or was it just something she happened to know?
We tried to get into that.
Okay. Exactly what you do. I mean,
she
sounds like she's already repented, already believed that Jesus died for her sins. Go
first person we talk to.
Go right into the kingdom. Be like, well, you know, I hear you talking about heaven, you know, and let's talk about the kingdom and how the Bible lays out this beautiful vision for the world.
It was awesome because she was like someone that she was with interrupted her, and she was like, hold on, and like she was sincerely interested to hear about that. She was like, it doesn't say in the Bible, you know, like. It was awesome. But at the same time, we were like, the first person we spoke to, and I felt like she wasn't like, oh, Jesus, you know, died for my sin. She like was like humble about it, right? You know, and it was like, wow.
It's cool. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So did you ask her if she follows him? If she follows his commands and reads the Word of God to, you know, have that be what is the mirror that she's seeing her life through?
Russell kind of got into that. That was the path I think that I didn't know if we should go down. You know, I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know that was what we should do or not.
You know, you could even go to, you know, some of the verses in the John the Baptist and that Jesus said, you know, that no good tree bears bad fruit. You know, or not, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. And that you're known by your fruits, and that, you know, if the tree, your life is not evidencing the fruit that God's going to be looking for, you know, you gotta search yourself and say, you know, am I really enduring? Because Jesus said those who endure to the end are the ones who are going to be saved.
Yeah.
So, you know, just have her, like, do a personal evaluation, a spiritual evaluation, and inspect her own fruit, and, you know, if her life, say your life, is, if it lines up, and you're walking as Jesus walked, right? Doesn't that say it in 1 John? That whosoever says that he is, you know, as out of walk.
Everyone
as
is born of him practices righteousness.
Right,
just
or
as
he should walk even as he walked, right? So there's a standard right there. Now bring her right to the standard of Jesus and say, in your life, is this the standard, and are you following Jesus and finding your life lines up more and more with what his commands say and how he wants you to relate?
Jess?
I didn't know if I had that light at that time. Like, I didn't feel like I knew anything about her. I felt like
to not take her word for it
would
be an insult, maybe.
Yeah. I didn't know if I needed to go there.
That's hard, but another way to go there without insinuating that you don't believe her is to say, could you share with me your testimony? I love hearing people's story of how they came from darkness to life. And if she's a true Christian, she'll have a story and she'll delight in telling you it, because that's a glory to God, and it's just a blessing to talk about what God's done for us in our lives. And if she says, well, you know, I was just kind of brought up in it, you know, and I, you know, just never really.
Just, I've always been a Christian. I was from the time I'm little. Like,
that would raise flags for me.
Yeah. Jess, you had something to
say?
If they bring that up early,
if they say right away,
I would.
My sins, and I know that I'm not going to be able to have eternal life unless I accept.
No, no. You can just ask them to tell you their story. You know, it'll be a good story if God's moved in their life. It'll be a blessing to you and to them. You know, and then go right into the kingdom. And be like, look, this is something I learned a few years ago. It's something that makes more sense of the Bible than other things that are out there. And go right into it. And you know, the Bible's her standard. The kingdom's right there. You know what I mean? If there's no story, you'll know. If there's no, I don't, but maybe in Rhode Island you do.
Also, I mean, Jesus cannot be your savior unless he's your Lord. And if you don't keep if you don't follow his commands and do them, you know, he said, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, did we not cast out demons, did we not do many miraculous things?" And I'll say, I'll, you know, depart, go on, so on and so forth. So he's got to be Lord, you know. If he's Lord, then your life is going to be following his commands. And then, you know, that's the true acid test.
Anybody else?
Jim Rose.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Easy to use in our environment, what was going on at the park, at the weddings, where the crowds were. And we started asking what was going on, blah, blah, blah. Some of them walked away quickly.
It's the tourist approach.
Huh?
The tourist approach. What's going on?
And then we had walked by these two girls before and knew that we should have talked to them. So we left and turned around and came back, and we stopped and said, because now I knew what was going on. So I said, girl, I said, the problem's going on here. She said, yeah. She said, we're just standing here. We're really missing our car. She said, no, we're reminiscing about our car. We went to one in 2005. And she had tears in her eyes. And at that moment, I was going to say, why are you crying? What are you crying? I don't think it's me. Maybe not everybody's crying. So I skipped over that. And then,
we're joking
a little bit about my mom. So, you know, I was in the 70s. It's a little bit different. So,
just going for
a moment. Okay, I need to get right to the point. No, I'm sorry. Jesse, we're at a natural scene this weekend, and
we are out today here talking to people about God. You know, who may ask this question? You know, she was not a Christian.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Okay, I was stumped, just like he was, because I'm ready to do the person test.
Right.
I'm already Christian, Jesus died for my sins. But the other one, what was crying about a prom, did not look at us.
Ah.
So the Christian kept talking to me. I'm looking at her and going, what about you?
Uh-huh.
He knew Jesus died for your sins. She said to me something that I just saw today. She said, well, it was a realization to me today. She said, you can't be forgiven for your sins until you accept Jesus as your Savior. He can die for your sins, but you're not forgiven for it until you accept it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was just thinking about this today. I'm looking at it. And I said, have you been, did you accept Jesus as your Savior?
No. She's like right on the edge, huh?
Right on the edge, and then the mother-in-law comes
in. Oh.
I know, and I'm like, this is my daughter-in-law.
She pointed to the one that had said,
basically,
said,
I'm Christian,
but
we started talking about
it.
And we went right into the kingdom after that.
Yeah.
He said,
that, you know, they were doing, showing, trying to talk to them. Putting out Christianity every day, not as a, you know,
once a week.
Convenient religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had shared with them that the kingdom is going to be down on earth. Which
right.
I think about the kingdom, I know.
Yes, right.
Well, you know, Jesus is coming back, and Paris is going to be here on earth. She's Paris on earth. What do you think? Humans don't go to heaven, right? You know, you're not going to live in heaven. I'm like, what are you talking about? So it's like, you know, nothing about the kingdom.
Awesome. Cool. Just Jesus. And he's coming back. And if we go and he's here, we won't be with him. It's kind of creepy. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. It's like... It's in Quail Street, right?
Yep, that's it. Quail Street.
Yep.
Yeah, we know Victory. They have the ambulance, right, Jason? Don't they have the ambulance? I'm saying there's an ambulance with like Jesus Saves on the side of it. That's how I always recognize them. Victory territory. So the Jesus Saves ambulance. That's a great idea.
So how would you have dealt with one out of three?
Well, if she backed away, then she doesn't want to talk anymore, you know.
You,
I guess you could tackle her to the ground or something, but...
You gotta let him go.
Yeah.
Like you said, we planted a seed there. She's the one that brought up, you're not forgiven. And she actually talked about putting off the flesh.
Because you gotta put this off.
Put this off before you see it. Because she knew some stuff. She knew more than the other ones that were like jumping in. Oh yeah, we'll see. But she knew about putting, and maybe I think she had questions in her mind about her own life. And that could be it. Then when we brought up the subject of God, it made her question her own life.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Get some thinking, yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
God,
yeah.
Anybody else have a question or experience to share? Blake, go ahead.
Michelle and I were walking along as we're all coming to play on the as we're walking along,
Oh. What did he say? Oh, you can follow up with that at school, huh? Anybody else? I wanted to play a video clip. These are the reasons why people are not guilty. You ready? Okay.
Yeah.
I think everyone has though. So, what do you call someone who steals?
Well, how old are they? Man, you know, it depends. It depends. Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul? Or are you, you know, or, you know, are you taking care of somebody?
I'm asking specifically in your case.
In my case?
Yeah, not in general. Like, I don't know if you robbed.
Well, I was young. I was a little girl. So that's why I said the age. Because sometimes you do things because of youth.
Right.
You do things you're not even really, you know. And you learn better.
How old are we talking here?
I was like 13, 14.
Right. Okay. So if a 13, 14-year-old would come up to you and they'd steal your...
All right. So she said, what was her excuse?
She was too young. She didn't know it.
She was only 13 or 14 when she had stolen. Therefore, it should not be something that she should be held accountable for. What would you say to her other than Jared? Jared's in the room, right? He's not? He must have known that he was coming up. What would you say? Somebody from the audience.
I would say that at 13 or 14, you should know what's right and wrong and stealing wrong.
What would be a way to get her to come to that conclusion without just telling her, without just disagreeing with her?
Her child.
Huh?
Ask her about her child.
She's pregnant. She didn't have
any kids. Her 13-year-old.
Did you know at the time that that was wrong? Okay, that's a good one. What were you going to say, Greg?
What do you call a person who steals? Like, what would you think of someone? What if they could write in something from kids and some of their stuff?
There it is. What if a 13-year-old came and stole your purse right now? That's what Jared asked her.
14-year-old would come up to you and they'd steal your purse along with everyone else in the park. Would you consider them a thief?
Well, yeah, if they're doing it like that, yeah. Now we've gone through the Bible before. Now of course you said according to God's eyes. Now I don't trust that because God told me if it was like that, God wouldn't have blessed me with this baby. That's the given. And any man can say, you know, it's scientific, you're gonna get pregnant, da da da. God would not have blessed me with this child if it was truly wrong.
So what do you say to somebody that says, children are a gift from God, God would not have blessed me with this child if I had done something wrong in having sex with my partner outside of marriage?
David and Bathsheba.
What's that?
David and Bathsheba.
David and Bathsheba. Okay, there's a biblical example, right?
Yeah, totally messed up.
Good.
You murdered somebody, you know, and you still had a child.
Right, and the child died, right?
Well,
what about Abraham and Hagar?
Abraham and Hagar.
Started a whole religion.
Terry?
So that must be that atheists can't have children.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Line of the night.
Another thing you could do, and this is totally at your discretion, is just to decide you don't want to argue about it and go to something else. You always have that option. You don't have to, this is not like a...
You don't have to have the answer for everything.
Yeah, you don't have to like score more points. The point is to help this person to come to an understanding that they need salvation. They need a savior. You know, so you don't have to win. Yeah. The point isn't to win. The point is to help them see their need. You know?
Right.
This is I'm spiritually married. Get this all the time. All the time.
Wait a minute, let's go back. You said, have I ever lusted after someone in my heart? Right? That's the question. The answer is yes. But you're making it seem like it's adultery. And when adultery is when you're with someone and you are actually, according to...
Fornication. Yeah. Sex outside of marriage.
Oh, sex. That's a whole different ballgame. Oh, sex outside of marriage. well, I'm not married, so...
You'll be there.
Someone's pregnant. Yeah, so... I'm not married in the sense of Western culture.
Western culture.
Yeah.
So how are you married, then?
I'm spiritually married to my child's father, so...
So how are you married? She said, I'm spiritually married to my child's father.
That means that we have a spiritual bond. I don't have a ring, and we don't do it the American way.
I mean, what would you say to somebody who said, we're spiritually married, we don't do it the American way, we don't think that we have to go before a judge, and it's fine in the eyes of God? What would you say? Why do you believe that, Sharon? This is convenient. Yes, sir.
You know, like you just said, it's spiritually married, whatever, like that other response to people who say, okay, well, if that's right, then you don't have to go before a judge for that, then doesn't it mean that if you kill somebody, then you still don't have to go before a judge or something? You still did.
Spiritually kill somebody? Something I found some success with in talking to both Christians and non-Christians is using the dictionary definition of the word marriage, which is very helpful. It says a lawful contract between two people. You know, like, do you have a marriage license? Then you're not allowed to use the word married. Okay? Because the English dictionary says that's what marriage means. So you can say you have a relationship, you can say you have a commitment, but you're not allowed to use the word marriage unless you have a marriage license, period. And I've had some success with that. I mean, again, these are all little things, you know.
Where is marriage instituted in the Bible?
Genesis.
Man shall leave his wife.
Yeah.
Leave, cleave, one flesh.
Right.
Right. And I've had people try to argue.
Yeah. There's no marriage ceremony that
right. There's no marriage ceremony. Right. And they say that's what we did.
Right.
But there was high ritual in the family.
Money changed hands.
There was, you know, there was items exchanged. It was a contract. I mean,
yeah, right. And they were actually called husband and wife.
Right.
And if the marriage was annulled, there would be a divorce document given to the woman.
Yeah. If the man comes to the wife and if she's not a virgin, there were big ramifications. And, you know, so they had a system.
They had a system. And we have a system here. And the system's not sinful. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, a marriage license. I mean, if it was like, okay, you have to like burn a pinch of incense to the Caesar in order to get married, then of course we wouldn't do it.
Right.
But that's not the case. You know, this is just a bogus thing. Man-made laws.
So by your own admission, you have lied, stolen, had lustful thoughts, had sex outside of marriage, and committed blasphemy. If God were to judge you in the end, do you think you would be innocent or guilty by his standard?
I would be innocent. I would be innocent.
Why would you be innocent?
Because those are laws that a man has made.
Those are laws a man has made. All right? The things that we have mentioned. Where is Jared in now?
It's being humble.
He'll be back soon. Sal had to return his car. Jared.
Oh. The things that we went through there was lying, stealing,
blasphemy,
sex outside of marriage, and some other things. Which one of those is not a man-made law?
Blasphemy?
Blasphemy. There's no man-made law against blasphemy.
Or lying.
There's no
common law against fornication. There's not a law against lying. There are man-made laws. So what Jared says is, if I stub my toe and blaspheme, I use God's name in vain, would I get arrested for that? That's what he says. I think the Spirit was leading him here. I mean, a lot of his stuff was like, right, just the answer at just the right time, you know?
You're not supposed to do. So according to God, you know, I can only do what I feel is righteous in my heart because I know that that comes directly from God.
You said laws that man has made?
Yeah. Those laws that just were made that I've, you know, that I've stolen, I've lusted, I've, what else did I do? Fornicated.
And blasphemy.
Blasphemy. Those are laws that man has made.
About.
Yeah. Yeah.
A law that man has made, would you say if I went over and stubbed my toe and I said, oh my God, I'd be arrested because that's...
Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just saying that... I'm saying that according to... Because these are things that comes from the Bible, right?
Right. Well, but man didn't write the Bible.
But man did write the Bible.
Hard to say. I'd have to leave up to him, but I think I'd be innocent. I really have never done nothing too bad.
Because you're perfect. You've never done anything wrong. And I'm not going to judge you as guilty, you know. I mean, that's between you and him.
I guess I say if never perfect, so I guess in that way you can't say you're innocent.
If somebody says they're innocent, they're insisting they're innocent, just explain. Innocent means you've never done anything wrong. You're perfect? Are you saying you're perfect? They won't want to say that. And if the only other option is guilty, they're going to have to either say they're perfect or they've done something wrong. You know? So that, only little lies. This one's actually kind of funny. He was a Muslim. What was his name?
Where are you guys?
This is Central Park in Schenectady. This is John Obelinas.
Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Have you ever lied? What is that? What do you call someone who lies?
Well, a lie? I'll never be a lie.
A liar?
No, I'll never be a liar.
Well, if I lied?
A lie. How about the little things, dude?
Okay. So, you're a liar? You're not a thief, though?
No, I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief.
Well, you said you lied.
I'm lying about, you know, just like sometimes about little things, my friend.
Okay, you're still
there.
A liar, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a liar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're still a liar,
No, I'm not a liar, but everything, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just like...
Okay, and,
saying
and
about
you're a fornicator,
things,
too.
Certain things, a little certain things.
And you're a fornicator, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God says that those who are liars and fornicators,
mm-hmm.
that they will be judged on the day of judgment, that they're not good people.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So you're not a good person.
I am good person. I'm saying.
You
I'm,
just said you weren't.
I'm not telling you I'm a liar. I'm not saying I'm a liar. But you told me you'd never be a liar once, you know? You asked me, like, you never be a liar before? Of course, somebody, you know, some people make mistakes sometimes.
Okay.
You have to be a liar about certain things. You know, you're lying about your
but
friend.
But God says these mistakes, these crimes?
No. That is a God that didn't say you can't be a liar forever.
God says that these mistakes and these crimes are punishable by death.
You know, a lot of people make mistakes. A lot of people, like, say, like, you go somewhere, you didn't tell your mom about what you did. Like,
okay.
You go smoking with your friend.
All right.
Or you drinking with your friend. Your parents didn't want to find out. So you got to be a liar, bro, at your parents. You got to say, oh, mom, I went to hang out with my friend, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, but God is the judge, right?
Yeah.
And if you've committed a crime, you're guilty, right?
Yeah.
And if you're guilty, you have to get punished?
Yes.
Okay. And God says the punishment is death.
Not to death, I mean.
That's what he says.
That's what he says?
Yeah. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. When you sin, you die.
If you lie?
Yeah, that's a sin.
Wow. I don't know about that.
You don't think lying is a sin? You know it's wrong.
Yeah, I know it's wrong, but I didn't say punish you to the death. I mean...
Everything is punishable to death. All sins. All whenever you disobey God.
For real?
Yeah.
He got it, right? He just sort of stuck out. Sometimes you just got to be a dog on a bone. Somebody's trying to, like, wiggle out of it, you know? And...
Hold on one second. A lot of people will say white lies. Well, I told white lies.
Nobody ever tells anything other than white lies, by the way.
I tell, you know, I've lied, but never heard that hurt somebody or something like that. And something you can ask them, you can say, all right, How many? Because they don't want to say they're a liar. That's the whole thing. They're hesitant. So what do you call someone who tells lies? Well, it matters what kind you say. Because they know the answer is lie. That's the easiest one. That's why we do it first. Okay. And so you say, you know, how many times do you need to lie before you're considered a liar? That's a good question to ask. Because what's the answer? Is it four? Is it five? What's the line there? And they'll say, well, yeah, I know what you're saying. You know what I mean?
And they can get out of that one, too, by saying, well, you have to lie a lot in order to be a liar. I mean, that's how they would try to get out of it. But then you would just say, well, how many times do you have to rape somebody to be a rapist? Just once with that one, right? How many times do you have to murder somebody to be a murderer? Just once with that one. So with lying, but you have to do it a lot, right? So sometimes when you bring it to like the more extreme cases of like a big thing, then it clarifies the situation a little bit.
You know, the truth too is that if they've lied once, and you finally get it through, if they've lied once, you know they've lied a lot of times. Of course. It's, I mean, anybody who's lied.
They're lying to you right then.
Right. Yeah. How is the volume out there? Is it too loud or too quiet?
Yeah, too loud.
Too loud? Because we can't really hear up here what you're hearing because the speakers are pointing to you. I just turned it down. Maybe that'll.
So you've never taken anything that wasn't yours. You never downloaded music illegally. Never.
Yeah, I've grabbed a lot of that.
Right. Everybody probably has, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to send this to your mother or anything. Just be honest.
Yeah, like songs. Like
okay. So
I didn't walk out of Walmart with a big canoe or something. I just took it.
Right.
Of course, God isn't you know just seeing the big stuff. You know, He sees even just intentions in the heart, like those.
No. 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 I'm not adulterous. I'm not married. I'm not a thief, but I have stolen stuff. That doesn't make me a thief.
How many times you got to do it?
To make a thief? Once. Yep, you got to take something once. You're a thief, man. That's all it takes. It's once. Can't get around that one, can
I? Can't get around that one, can I? Another one we run into a lot is, what about other people? What about other people? Others are worse than me.
You know, so if you're standing at that great judgment, again, you think you're still going to be on the good side?
I do.
How come, even though you've done these bad things?
Because I think in relation to what other people have done, I think that's going to matter.
Okay, you know, so if you're in a courtroom, you know, and you're in there for, you know, shoplifting or something like that, you know, and there's someone, you know, who's next, you know, he's behind you in line at court there, you know, and you're up to the judge, and the judge asks, you know, why should you be innocent? Oh, well, I didn't do anything too bad. I mean, this guy behind me, he robbed a bank. You know, I only took, you know, some stuff out of a store. You should let me go and deal with him.
There are different places for different people.
Okay. But is the judge in that case going to say, okay, you know what, you're right. You know, you broke the law, but it's not that big of a deal.
They might have a lesser sentence. So.
Okay. Okay. So they'd still be guilty, but they'd have to deal with their punishment, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't really help with your current dilemma anyhow.
Oh.
You're guilty.
Guilty of what?
Lying, thieving, fornication, and blasphemy.
Let me ask you this. Have you done those things?
Yes.
Then you?
Help you, Winnie. To have me be guilty, too. How is that going to make you feel better?
But it doesn't make me. I don't care.
So why'd you ask me?
But because you asking me because you're placing judgment on me, right?
Oh, I'm not placing judgment. You said those things. I didn't.
I did, but you're saying, but you're guilty. You're guilty. You know, as if. Okay.
Well, you kept saying you were innocent.
But I am, well, okay, so you're twisting it. You're manipulating the conversation.
I'm not trying to manipulate anything. We asked if God judged you, would you be innocent or guilty? You said innocent, and it's like
Okay.
I'm not twisting anything.
Okay, I got you. So this is what I'm saying. In my heart, I am innocent. The things that I have done, okay, according to man's law, yes, I am guilty. But according to God, I am innocent.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I think everybody has.
Well, not girls necessarily, but...
No. I'm sure everybody's like looked at a woman a certain way, like certain ways they think of, but yeah.
So if Jesus came today and judged you based on his standards, would you be innocent or guilty?
I don't know enough about it, like his standards.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, if we're bad, then 99% of the world is a lot worse than us. Yeah. Okay,
that's a very common argument, again.
No, but if we all stood in front of Jesus, I mean, sure, everyone's
guilty. He'd take
the
rapist and stuff first, and then he'd get us.
Everyone sinned. Jesus sinned. Yeah.
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know what Bible you're reading there, buddy.
No.
Nobody, not even his enemies, ever accused him of sinning.
I could have sworn I heard that.
Dude, he walked on water.
Yeah, dude, he walked on water.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, like...
I think you were thinking of something else.
Well, I mean, everyone... I don't think one person in this world hasn't sinned.
I agree.
So...
Right.
And everyone's guilty.
Yes, now you're getting it.
No,
and are you part of everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, so you would be guilty.
Yeah, but the world isn't
perfect. And are you part of everyone?
Yeah.
So you would be guilty?
No.
If he judged you by his standards?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm trying to find out. I'm not trying to worry about everyone in the world.
Everybody's guilty.
I think there are a lot bigger problems in the world than me and my buddy did right here. That can be fixed. I mean...
Billy Marshall's got fixed.
Like I said, you know, I haven't...
You guys aren't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we're guilty, but... I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't, like I said, I've never stolen anything.
One back.
I mean, sure, I you know, cuss with my friends or whatever. Like, that doesn't hurt anyone.
It doesn't hurt anyone other than God, is my point.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
I mean, God is our Father. He cares about us, and He's given us a way to live life, and, you know, especially you and I, we're going to carry His name. We're going to say we're Christian.
Yeah.
And so we're saying we're Christian, and we're cursing around our friends.
Yeah.
See now, wouldn't that upset you if you were a father?
Yeah.
So you are hurting someone.
Yeah.
So it is a matter of importance to him, at least. Not to me. It's not what I'm...
Yeah.
My opinion is bad.
And, you know, like I said, you know, I think everyone's judged, you know, when they die or whatever. And... I guarantee you, I'll be way up on the list, you know.
You, like, hear it.
A lot of other people.
So you think if...
I guarantee you, I'd be way up on the list on Judgment Day. There's so many people worse than me. All right? How are we feeling? I mean, I have like endless numbers of these things, so we don't need to watch them all. Did that spur any other questions on, or how we feel out there? How's the morale? Not moral. How's the room morale?
Should I turn my tongue?
You feeling?
I can see how it ends with the girl.
Janessa?
Yeah.
We would too.
We ended as friends. I think I gave her my email address. She was going to send me all her research she had done on different things. She didn't. She didn't.
When Sean and Jared got to witness to Janessa, she's like, you know, one of the witnessing classics. They spoke to her for 1 hour. And all of you should get a copy of this because every single excuse that you will ever hear, she said. I mean, like, Jess and I were watching this one day in our living room thinking, man, I would have stopped this conversation a long time ago. And then you're like, oh, that's cool how they answered that. Man, I would have ended this conversation a long time ago. Oh, that was a good point. I mean, like, it's good training because the thing that's cool about watching these videos and talking about here is, like, you get to actually almost, like, you're there and you get practice. Because the thing that will only... you know, make us feel more comfortable about this is doing it more and seeing God be there every time. And, you know, it builds our faith and it encourages us. So the thing about that video is that is like all you need for training on what excuses may come up. And I mean, she...
And I'm not saying that in that video everything I said was like necessarily the right thing to say. I did... at one point say something that I would not say in the future, you know, but you're in the moment and
You know, I'm saying it's good practice saying. Just to hear her.
I told her she was evil. but I... there was a reason. There was a whole half hour before that, and
so she never emailed you. That's surprising.
No. We got past that, and it was a mistake on my part. She was evil, and so was I. But I should not have said it. And even though I had built the case, you know, and everything else, it just was a stupid thing to say. And so, if you do ever watch Janessa, just disregard that part. The rest of it's good. But
never repented in the end.
No. I she said that only if I could bring the most. She had a whole other religious system that she had developed for herself. It wasn't like you're talking about like a ex-Christian. I mean, she was an ex-Christian, but she had a whole elaborate belief system that we had to discover and then work within. And she said only if I could bring the Most High right there. Sit the Most High down on the bench next to her, would she believe? And I said, you know, that's it. You know, if we did a miracle, if you saw a miracle or God spoke to you, that wouldn't do it. Just only if, you know. And that's just where she was at. And you know what? When somebody is convicted and they're feeling godly sorrow, they don't want to necessarily repent in front of you. And that's okay. Because at night, before they go to sleep, and they're thinking things over, they might not have. Our goal is so that they would have no reason to blame the messenger. So it's just between them and God. And at night, or you know, in those moments where they're thinking about things, they know what's up with them and God. You know, they know, and that gospel will grate on them. You know, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not our job, you know. I mean, Nathan has a powerful story about how your cousin, right?
Yeah.
Cousin preached the gospel to him, and Nathan basically laughed at it. And then over the next days and weeks,
months,
that it just, it's like he got hit with the sword, and it just like...
I kept
slowly
on bleeding for a while.
Slicing for like months, and it just grated away. It's just, I need to repent, you know. Even though it wasn't a continual thing on Joe's part anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to show one more. Is that okay?
Yeah. I just want to say about this whole thing. We really need to be praying a lot. That's the best training. Pray before you go witnessing. As soon as you're done talking, as you're walking away, pray for that person that God would increase and fill in the mistakes that our flesh made, and pray. If you commit to pray every day for God to give you an opportunity to witness to someone that day, you better pray for boldness too, because He'll give you the opportunity. It's just a matter of taking advantage of it next. I mean, it's God's will that people hear this. It's God's will. He wants this to happen. He's waiting for people who will say, yes, I will do it, Lord. I want to do this. I'm ready. Let's go. And he will blow your mind with how much he will work. All right? I mean, before Sean shows this clip, the most powerful thing that I've ever heard about God's, like, I mean, wanting this to happen. In Rhode Island, a couple months ago, I guess, last summer, there was a guy who, what, did he come to our church? James? He came to my house. We live in front of the church, so a lot of people think it is the church, and they walk in, and I'm in my pajamas. It's embarrassing. But this guy came into our house and wanted information about the church, and Joe was there. And he was down and out, and he didn't know what to do. He had a job, and there are all sorts of different circumstances. And Joe and our brother Andy Rosati in Rhode Island decided, all right, we're going to preach the gospel to this guy. We're going to witness to him. And we're going to help him out. They provided the money for him to stay in a hotel that night because he was homeless. And they were going to buy a bus ticket so that he could get to California for this job. And they were going to help him out. You know, it was a sacrifice on their part, but that didn't matter. They thought it was the right thing to do. They prayed about it. And so they picked up this guy. He was there the next morning. He showed up. They weren't taken advantage of. And they brought James to the bus station and put him on a bus so that he could go and work this job in California, and his whole life was going to be able to be changed. And they were faithful and preached this message that we've been talking about this whole weekend. And, you know, so many people you witness to, you never see again. You know what I mean? They send James away. He goes on his bus trip. And a few weeks later, Joe went on the 2-week evangelism road trip that they did last summer. And they're in the smallest town in America, right? Isn't that what it's called? Or what's it called? Frenchtown, New Jersey?
It's about as small as it gets, man.
Right. So they're getting out of the bus to go to the church that they were going to be at that night. And Sean is ahead of them, and he's talking to someone, right? And Joe walks up, and he's like, "Oh, my gosh. James, the very guy they put on a bus to go to California, was in Frenchtown, New Jersey.
In the parking lot of
Ozzie Purcell's church, about to be witnessed to by Sean.
At the same minute
they pull up.
He wanted a hot dog for a hot dog.
So Joe walks over to this guy, and he goes, or he talked to Sean, right? If I'm missing something, tell him. I'm just trying to be dramatic. but Joe walks up to this guy and goes, "James, what are you doing?" Or Sean said, "Aren't you supposed to be on a bus to California?" And he didn't know.
I didn't say that right then.
Yeah.
I went back to the car, and Joe's like, and he explained it to me, and then I went back. I'm like, "Hey, James, aren't you supposed to be on a bus to California?"
And then he looked at me.
He just booked.
And he had this face that was like God's conviction on him. He looks at us and he goes, "What did he say?" He goes, "I know I have a work to do with Christ, sir." And like, he's freaking out and he just jets.
Now, away from us. That's incredible. Tell me there's no God. Tell me there's no God. Go ahead and say that. I mean, that's ridiculous to think about. That this man in the little town comes to our door, and Joe is there at that moment, speaks to him, helps him out, shows the love of Christ, sacrifices, gives, puts him on a train, and this guy took advantage of Joe and Andy and lied. And he shows up in the town where nobody's going to know his story, and he'll take advantage of another church. And there is the man who preached to him just days before. It's convicted.
And he ran.
And he ran. I mean,
like,
you know,
he saw God himself.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, the point of that, and there are other stories like that that we need to talk about with each other because it's encouraging, is that God is going to, he's going to be with us. He's going to put us in the right place at the right time. He's going to put us with the right person, you know, at the right, all, we just have to have that willing heart. We just have to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm afraid, but I'll, if you're with me, I'll go." You know what I mean? That's why we got to really be praying a lot about this and talk to each other about it. Help each other. You know, it's so helpful if my wife comes to me and goes, "All right, we need to go witnessing. I'm afraid. I want to go." And I'm like, you know, I got to be the man about it. So I'm like,
"Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about who I am. Let us go. Get the tracks." You know. No, but that's so helpful for me to have my wife, a sister in Christ, a brother in Christ, to say, "Hey, we got to do this. Let's go." You know, because it's all swirling in our heads. We all know this is what we want to do and should do. It's just we're all comfortable in, don't talk about it. Don't say the witnessing word. You know, I mean, I remember when Emily first became a Christian, we're all sitting in a coffee shop in Providence, and she goes, We should witness to somebody. I'm like, man. I better get up and go with her. I am going straight to hell if I don't do this. Because she's so excited. This is what Christians do. They witness. You know what I mean? So we need to help each other in that and talk about our fears and let's pray. But, you know, just let's help each other in that. You know what I mean? If you're afraid, if you want to do it, tell your brother. Say, "Hey, I want to go witness you. And I'm really nervous about it. Can you go with me?" You know what I mean? Be willing to say that to somebody else. So that's all.
I guess based on that story, the other person better not say no. You put them on the spot, then they're obligated, yeah. Right?
Actually, I had to go do something.
Yeah.
I think we'll just end it there because it's getting late. Do you guys, what do we want to do for the praise? You want to take a break and set it up?
5 minutes or so, and if you want to stay and do some praise, just to end it with bringing glory to God. We'll spend, you know, 25 minutes or so singing praise songs. So, yeah, why don't we be back at 9:30? It's 9:20 if you want to go do whatever you got to do.